It was a struggle to get into the body shaper, stone cold sober. If she had done her share polishing off the contents of the bottles in her room, she would have needed help. The guy on the bed looked like he could have given her that help, unless he'd had as much Cristal to drink as she had. Jessica squelched a bout of shame as she lingered on his well-muscled body, clad in nothing but a pair of boxers. It felt voyeuristic, not to mention that even if her life depended on it, she couldn't say who he was. Besides, she was still a married woman. She hadn't signed the divorce papers yet. Why isn't he moving? Jessica wondered. From where she sat, it didn't even look like he was breathing. It must have been his snorting that brought her back so abruptly from the edge of insensibility. But he was dead to the world now, not a sound or a twitch in any of the bronzed body parts she could see. Lifting herself from the chair, Jessica leaned over to get a better look at his face. A shock of peroxided blonde hair covered much of it. Jessica hiked one knee up onto the bed. Edging closer, she reached out to move the hair so she could see his face. She had hardly touched him when he grabbed her hand and smiled at her. Jessica let out a loud whoop and struggled to break free. "Whoa," he said, still dull with sleep.
"Let go,"
Jessica barked, pulling away from him. Startled, he let go of her hand, and the momentum propelled her back off the bed. As her feet hit the floor, she continued moving backward. She tripped over a discarded Cristal bottle and landed flat on her behind on the floor with a loud, "Ouch!" Her shrieks evoked an even louder male response, not from the buff, blonde young man in her bed who couldn't have been more than 22 or 23 tops. The sound came from the floor on the other side of the bed. Another male head popped up, and Jessica couldn't stop another yelp. Her heart started to rev up again. "What the hell, Jessica?" her friend, Tommy, said. "I'm going to take a technicolor yawn all over this gorgeous Italian duvet you squirted between the sheets last week if you don't stop screaming." "I don't want to ruin it," he said, caressing the silky, cinnamon-colored duvet as though it were alive and needed soothing. He rested his head on the edge of the bed and then looked up. "You don't want all that revenge shopping to go to waste. The time, the energy, the focus. You only have so many divorce tantrums in you, you know?" Jessica blinked several times. Her eyes moved from the disgruntled Tommy, still only partly visible from his perch on the floor, to the sandy-haired Adonis. Smiling, he was now propped up in her bed. He had folded his arms across a well-developed chest and sat with washboard abs exposed above the waistband of his boxer shorts. "Not my usual type," she mused to herself. "Oh, heck, who am I kidding? I don't have a type." Her eyes lingered a moment longer, focusing more on his face, then widened in horror and recognition.
"Pool boy,"
she gasped loudly. Remembering how little she had on, a new wave of embarrassment worked its way through her body, from the top of her head to the tips of her toes. Without warning, the bedroom door flew open. All three of them wailed and shrank away from the door.
"Dios mío, Jessica, ¿qué te pasa? Are you okay? ¿Está bien?"
Bernadette asked, with a mix of fear and reproach in her voice and on her face. Reproach won out as she took in the scene. The woman who stood in the doorway was not even 5 feet tall. Her short, cropped black hair had begun to gray, and her face bore the weathering of her 60-something years. Jessica knew, without a doubt, she had contributed to that wear and tear. Bernadette, whom Jessica sometimes referred to as Saint Bernadette when she thought she could get away with it, had been hired as the family's housekeeper before Jessica's birth. She had become much more than that over the years. Her confidant when she was at odds with her parents, Bernadette was also her most formidable opponent at times. Bernadette possessed an eerie sixth sense for when Jessica was up to no good and had caught her many times doing something she shouldn't have been doing. Bernadette stayed on as manager of the Rancho Mirage estate, even after Jessica and her family moved out, one by one. First, Jessica's father, who, by the time she was 8 or 9, spent less time in the desert and more time in L.A. near his real estate development firm headquarters.